Hi there, this is David Wilcock, and you're listening to another Divine Cosmos audio blog exclusive interview with Benjamin Fulford. Fulford has worked for Forbes magazine as the editor for the Asia-Pacific region. Now, people have tried to attack his credibility on this before, but it is documented. I've checked the references myself. He was mentioned by Stephen Colbert in one show discussing the so-called Illuminati. And I will also say that Fulford has contact with an incredible number of different sources. He does seem to back up who these sources are as much as humanly possible. And recently, these sources informed him that the earthquakes that occurred in Colorado and then in Washington, D.C. area surrounding August 22nd and 23rd were in fact apparently nuclear strikes against underground military facilities that have been built by the U.S. government ostensibly since the early 1960s at the cost of trillions of dollars of undocumented taxpayer money that is going into these black projects. Now, the reason why I contacted Benjamin Fulford is that I had read this on his blog, and then I started to contact my own sources, which had been built up over being a public figure on the internet since 1999 and gaining the trust of many people in various classified programs. And I was absolutely astonished when I started to ask around and found out that everyone I know, with one exception, who probably wasn't on a need-to-know basis, confirmed that this attack did happen. Now, again, I'm going to turn it over to Ben in just a second, but one more setup thing I want to say here is, if you haven't understood the gravity or the implications of what I'm telling you right now, it's important to point out that these guys never imagined that these underground facilities could ever have been attacked. So what has happened here is a seismic shift in this insider war that is arguably as significant as the nuking of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II. And in fact, it may very well be the workings of the universe in terms of karma that the people responsible for those attacks have now had it happen to them. There's undeniable significance in this happening. I was astonished at the depth of detail that I've been able to get from my own sources about what happened. I've been told that the situation is now considered code red. However, it's also being withheld from most of the people in these programs. It's on a need-to-know basis, and even the sources I'm in contact with, all except for one, did not even have the need-to-know basis high enough to know why this had happened or who was responsible for it. So the only thing that we know is that the powers that were, as I like to call them, have been putting out stories on the internet about this event. And what they're actually doing is they're trying to mine for information. They want to find out who knows what. And I am astonished that my own sources lack the knowledge that Benjamin Fulford has been putting out as to who is responsible for this and why it is responsible. But my intelligence suggests that it's possible that as many as 30,000 people were in each of these two underground cities at the time that it went off. So we're talking about the potential of 60,000 deaths. And we're also talking about the potential that anyone else working for these programs who is in one of these facilities, which could either be underground or possibly off-world, such as in a space station or on the moon or elsewhere, they are now totally alone and unguarded. They are not going to be protected. They are not safe. And their superiors are not informing them of the risk that they now are in by being in those locations. I want to set the record straight. I want to get the man to talk to you, the public, and hear firsthand what the hell is going on, who did this, why did they do this, and what are the implications. So, Ben, that's my intro. Let's hear from you now. I'm very interested in this.
Look, there's been a very esoteric battle over control of the dollar printing machine, okay, or the global financial system. What happened was that at the end of World War II, or during the Bretton Woods Accords of 1944, Britain, France, and the U.S. were given the right to control the world's currency. and they were supposed to have a Marshall Plan to develop Africa and Asia as well as Europe. But when they reneged on their promise, the group, and instead started the fake Cold War with the Soviet Union, which was designed to support the military industries, the group of non-aligned nations, 77 nations, pooled their assets, all their wealth, their gold and other valuables, and set up some global collateral accounts. And they wanted to use this money to start the Marshall Plans for Asia and Africa. And President Kennedy agreed to go along with this after he found out that there was a group that was trying to very seriously get the Soviet Union and the United States to annihilate each other. This was the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there had some, and the historical accord is called the Hilton Green Memorial. Okay, this is available to any serious researcher in financial history. And President Sukarno was the signatory for the countries. And he was going to give Kennedy, they gave Kennedy 140,000 tons of gold. And he passed a law allowing Congress, not the Federal Reserve Board, to create dollars. And Kennedy also said, let's go to the moon instead of this Cold War, you know, to stimulate industry. So he was saying, yeah, let's develop the poor countries and let's develop space instead of having this fake Cold War. And Kennedy did put out a lot of money, but he was assassinated. And as you know, the public space program just disappeared in the 1970s when that funding ran out and just stopped completely. President Sukarno was hounded from office. Now, the international agreement that left Britain, France, and the United States in charge of the world's financial system expired in 1994. That is why they wound down the Soviet Union. And after 1994, there was no accord at the very top level of the world's financial system about who would be in charge next. There was a split in the ranks. And the Chinese and the non-aligned nations were pressuring the oligarchs who were running things, who had been running things since World War II, to hand over control of the dollar printing press, the financial system, and they were reluctant. The International Court of Justice in The Hague was sued by the Chinese over gold that the Federal Reserve Board owners owed them. And the Federal Reserve Board owners lost this lawsuit, and they were told to hand over the gold starting on September 12th, 2001. And instead, on September 11th, 2001, as you all know, they gave the world a finger, and instead they marched on, they started this huge fake global war on terror, which was part of an attempt by the fascist groups from World War II. This was the Nazis and their fascist sympathizers in the U.S. and England and Italy, with a group that's, you know, can be found within the military, in Congress, and in the Vatican. We're going to set up a global fascist government. And at the same time, they had this belief that there were too many people, especially too many, according to them, inferior brown-type people, and they wanted to reduce the world's population by 90%. And they were going to do it. Yeah, but I mean, it's very well documented. I was asked, invited to join this group by Heizo Takanaka, who was the Japanese finance minister for 5 years. And I have a tape recording of this invitation to prove it. But, and they were planning to hide in these underground bases after they set off a nuclear holocaust. The original plan was to start a nuclear war between Iran and Israel, use that as an excuse to set up martial law in the G7 countries, and then prepare for war against China. This fell apart when Russia kicked them out, and Putin reasserted independence for Russia. That removed their control of the oil industry and made that whole plan not work. And the Chinese also stopped buying U.S. treasuries for a while, to put pressure on this group. So they switched strategies, and instead they tried to suck up to China and offer them, you know, a world dictatorship in partnership with this group. That's why in public you saw Obama visit China in 2009 and offer a G2. This is how you can confirm this. But in any case, this group that carried out the 9/11 attacks has been under increasing pressure and under isolation at the very highest levels, and they're running out of money. They're being cut off.
Well, now, Ben, when right before September 11th, a lot of people forgot about this, that Donald Rumsfeld goes on national television and says that they lost $2.3 trillion from the Pentagon over the previous decade. Does that have anything to do with this gold thing you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. No, that money was used to finance Blackwater and a private army not controlled by the Pentagon, because the Pentagon would not let themselves be controlled by this cabal. And so they were trying to do like the Nazis did in World War II, create an elite SS corps that could bully the regular military. So that was where that money went to, as far as my sources are concerned.
Wow.
In any case, we were contacted by smugglers, drug smugglers.
Could you just say who we is for a minute?
We is a group of us who are involved in the fight to overthrow this cabal. It includes members of the CIA, the Pentagon, the agencies, and various, including Asian secret societies. We use the name White Dragon. Another group, they call themselves the White Hats, but we all have the same goal, which is to get this insane group of people out of power.
Some of the criticism that I've seen from people on the internet is, well, if this group is so vast and so powerful to fight this cabal, why is Benjamin Fulford the only one talking about this?
Well, it's these people like their secrecy, and I'm a spokesperson. It's like when you go to the White House, there's only one voice that they give to the public.
Right.
It's just, you know, they prefer to work behind the scenes, because you got to realize we're dealing in a world where this assassination is like they use assassination like most of us use tissue papers.
Sure.
I've had about 6 murder attempts myself. One of my colleagues, a CIA guy, was recently poisoned with ricin by these guys. Another one of our members in Switzerland, they found, you know, he's got guards around his house. They just shot someone last week near his house who was trying to kill him. Before that, they found a mafioso by the name of Vincenzo Mazzamaro, who had a gun and a sophisticated lock-picking device who was trying to get into his place. Another one of us had a concrete bag, missed him by a couple of inches last week.
Wow.
These people, I mean, we're dealing with some very dangerous people, and that's why there's a need for secrecy.
I've also speculated that since you are in Japan, and you're a Gaijing, you're a foreigner, a white person, and you have the background of being a distinguished editor for Forbes magazine, that the fact that you are bilingual, you do speak fluent Japanese, there's plenty of videos you've done now that show that, might have been part of what gave you this platform to give these Asian secret societies a voice. Would you say that's correct?
Well, what happened in my case was that I asked a very simple and obvious question when I was at Forbes. The Japanese people, that includes both public and private sector, have about $8 trillion worth of assets overseas.
$8 trillion?
Yeah, that's in the public record. You can go to the Finance Minister homepage, the numbers are there. According to the UN Development Report, you need $400 billion to stop environmental destruction and $200 billion to end poverty. So I'm saying, hey, you guys, why don't you end poverty, stop environmental destruction?
Okay, hold on.
It's a no-brainer.
$400 billion is all it takes to completely stop environmental destruction? How's that possible?
That's an annual budget, okay? This is the UN Development Report. You'd have to go to their experts to find out how they did those numbers.
Okay, but that's public domain. Okay.
But the point is that
So the $8 trillion is vastly more than what it would take to end poverty and environmental destruction.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you look at the statistics, you realize that 90% of the world's savings was being sucked out of the system by the U.S. military-industrial complex.
How do you prove that?
Well, again, this is all, I mean, I was a financial journalist for 25 years. This is all public record stuff, you know. I mean,
so just 90% of the U.S. budget is going to the military.
That's an easy way to check. Just look at the U.S. external trade deficit and compare it to the U.S. military budget, and you'll find an amazing similarity over the years. And that's for a simple reason that the military does not produce tradable goods. They were a parasitic entity on the world economy.
Mm.
So what I said was simply, look, you know, why don't you just stop paying for this military? I told the Asians, and instead ask. And set them to exploring space and stuff. But, you know, the sort of thing that, you know, that's just common sense.
Okay, Ben, your audio just cut out on that last sentence.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that is common sense. And
okay.
What happened was an assassination order came out for me, and the South Korean secret police informed the Chinese that there was an order to have me killed. And you can check, you know, my colleague, Paul Klebnikov, he was the Moscow bureau chief for Forbes magazine.
Okay.
He was shot 9 times outside of his apartment in Moscow. And he was still alive when the ambulance came an hour later. And he got to the hospital, and he was put in the hospital elevator, and the elevator stopped for 8 minutes, and he died in the elevator. Okay, he was investigating a member of this same group that I was. He was investigating Boris Berezovsky, one of the oil tycoons. I was investigating Hazel Takenaka, but they all go back to the same cabal.
Right.
In any case, the South Koreans told the Chinese that an assassination order was out for me. And this was because of my publicly calling for the Asians to stop spending their savings on this vast military machine. Which you got to remember, during the Cold War, at least you had this anti-communism excuse, but the war on terror was so obviously fake that it was just ridiculous to anybody with, you know, who does any serious research or investigation.
Right.
So, I got invited to join a Chinese secret society that offered me protection from his hit order, and that's where I found myself. In this world of, you know, secret world of financial power. And the group that offered me protection was the group that was behind the non-aligned nations. It crosses borders. If you think in terms of countries, you don't understand how these people work because they have big factions in China, in the U.S., and Europe, both against and for them. So it crosses borders. And if you think in terms of nation states, you won't understand how these groups work. But in any case, a financial battle started, and there were many, many public salvos. In 2006, the Chinese wanted to use their dollars to do something other than buy treasuries. They tried to buy the oil company Unocal. Congress passed a law saying they could not. So then they took their dollars and they went to Africa and South America and everywhere and started spending them on real things like mines and agricultural land and commodities and not virtual things like fancy, impossible-to-understand derivatives products, which were basically con jobs.
Ponzi schemes, yeah.
Yeah, and so the other group, they tried to retaliate by jacking up food and oil prices. Remember, there were hunger riots in 33 countries at one point.
Yeah.
And it was an economist at the World Bank who pointed out that the reason there were people were going hungry was that they were paying farmers to grow oil instead of food.
Mm.
And that put an end to that. So then there was a counterattack, and they were told that we would no longer accept dollars printed within the United States. And that's what you know of as the Lehman crisis. And you can check this on the public record. If you look at Japanese export statistics from October or November, say, 2008, after the Lehman shock, you'll see something like a 76% year-on-year drop in Japanese car exports to the U.S. This was the Japanese and other people saying you can no longer use paper to buy stuff from the rest of the world. You have to trade with real things. Of course, your public was not let in on this.
Well, that's where I think people's brain is going to get busted. As well, what you just said is nobody publicly knows that this Lehman shock had anything to do with Asia.
The way to check it is to look at the export-import statistics after the Lehman shock. And the other way to check it is to look at the Baltic Dry Index. That's the price of shipping. You'll see the price of shipping dropped 90%, okay, right after the Lehman shock.
Wow.
And that's because the ships were no longer going to the U.S. full of stuff and then leaving empty. Okay? So these are ways people can verify what I'm saying with public record information.
Good. Okay.
Now, and then getting back to the blowing up of the nuclear or the underground bases, this group was being cut off more and more at the high level, and they were running out of money. They were they've been trying to extort money from various countries. They killed the youth group of the ruling party in Norway. You know, that was this Norway attacks because they were trying to extort the $1.5 trillion oil fund the Norwegian government controls. They were saying, hey, we'll kill you if you don't hand over your money.
They just invaded, basically desperately trying to find cash.
Yeah, they invaded Libya to take over their oil fields because the Libyans were told them, hey, you know, we're not going to give you oil for your paper anymore. And in the case of Japan, again, I have sources who are actually drug smugglers who have been selling drugs in Japan for 70 years. These are CIA types, you know, this is the CIA drug smuggling division, okay? And they told me that a nuclear bomb had been brought in with their latest shipment of drugs. This was a 70-kilo shipment of adulterated Thai marijuana that was brought in through Okinawa, and they found a nuclear bomb mixed in with it. And, of course, these guys, you know, smuggling drugs is one thing, smuggling nuclear weapons is another. And they told the police, and they told me, and I made it public, and they followed the bomb as far as the North Korean citizens' association headquarters in Tokyo. And I have independent confirmation from Mr. Paul Lane of Pentagon Military Intelligence. He was a part of the Men Who Stare at Goats group, that four nuclear weapons were stolen from the Russian submarine, the Kursk, when it sank. I think it was in 2000 or something. And it was one of those nuclear weapons that was smuggled in. Then we have public...
Stolen by who, though?
Well, this is the Odessa group, the Nazi group, the one that was trying to set up a fascist world government, a Fourth Reich.
Okay. How did they get to the Kursk to get these nukes out?
I don't know the technical details, but they have submarine bases in various parts of the world. And so I'm assuming it was from these submarine bases.
Well, next question then would be, why would they need to get it from the Kursk if they're powerful enough to make their own?
You see, there's one thing to have. The public nuclear devices are under strict safety protocols.
Okay.
You can't just take them and then blow them up somewhere. There's just too many people involved in the chain of command. And they tried to do that. You know, there were incidents where they just barely stopped a nuclear...
Right, like the Minot Air Force Base thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So these are not...
And the soldiers did a mutiny and basically would not commit this broken arrow where they call it in code terms.
Yeah, well, there you go. And so what they needed was some nuclear weapons that were not under any official government control.
Okay.
And there was a Japanese drilling ship known as the Chikyu Maru, okay? that can drill 10 kilometers into the seabed. And they were drilling at the exact epicenter of the earthquake. You know, we've had an article from January 17th from a local paper saying they were drilling there. And they put the bomb in the seabed. And this was an attempt to extort money through terror from the Japanese.
So they warned that they had put the nuke in before they asked for money?
No, they asked for money after.
Oh, wow.
If you don't do it, next is Mount Fuji, okay?
Now, that's for people who don't know. Fujiyama is right around Tokyo, which is the largest population center of Japan.
That's right.
So they're basically saying they would nuke Tokyo, which is how many million people? 30, 40 million?
30 million or so.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, excuse me. You know, so, and the Japanese Prime Minister Kan originally just sort of was so cowardly, he kind of said, oh yeah, all right, we'll sign over money. And he handed over something like 2 trillion yen. It's what, 20 billion dollars, I think. Anyway, and they gave him a big bribe. But the evidence that this was not a natural disaster began piling up. And the result has been a battle here in Japan to remove these people from control.
Some people might not realize that there's any evidence that it was not a natural disaster. Could you just briefly touch on a couple points that you think are the most significant?
Well, if you look at the seismic chart, you'll see a sudden explosion. It's not like a natural earthquake where you have pre-shocks. It's just suddenly huge, and then it started fading down. The same with the underground bases. If you look at a seismic chart, it'll look like a big line all of a sudden appearing, and then a smaller line afterwards. There's no buildup as you'd find in a natural earthquake. And the other thing is that, I mean, there's plenty of evidence. There was the governor of Fukushima province told me that they overruled him and put plutonium in reactor number 3 1 month before this tsunami incident.
Only a month before?
Yeah, and then we had, there was a company called Higashi Nippon House that makes cheap housing in northeastern Japan, and their stock price was shooting up in the month before the attack. And you got to remember, Japan's got an aging and shrinking population. It doesn't make sense for a cheap housing company's stock price to go shooting up like that unless there was something in the works. And the other is that a group of us had recorded a conversation between Kurt Campbell, who's the your deputy foreign minister in Asia, and Japanese power broker Ichiro Ozawa on March 9th, 2011. And in this conversation, Campbell asked Ozawa not to split the ruling party and force the creation of a new government. And they said that they would give him the rights to zeolite in Fukushima province. Now, zeolite is used to clean up radioactive waste. And this conversation was recorded on March 9th, 2 days before the tsunami attack. The other point is that a man by the name of Takamasa Kawase from Japanese military intelligence subsequently told me that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, after the attack, phoned Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan and said that they would cause other nuclear disasters around Japan if they did not start handing over the money. The chief Mossad agent in Japan, by the way, now is a guy called Michael Green. He's a nasty piece of work, and we're going to remove him from this country soon. But in any case...
One question, though.
Yeah, before... Okay,
go ahead. Sorry.
In order to confirm what this guy told me, I checked, and there was an Israeli company that, for some reason, was in charge of security at the Japanese nuclear plants. Okay?
Oh, my gosh.
So I was able to confirm that through other sources, okay? And this is publicly available information, who was in charge of security at Fukushima, okay? It was an Israeli company. Now, go on. What was your...
Do you believe that Israel is tied in with this cabal you keep mentioning in some way?
Not Israel, but a clique at the top of the Israeli government, yes. Most Israelis I consider to be chumps or victims of these people. Because, for example, the cousin of the Shah of Iran, among others, came to us with information that George Bush and his group had given 12 neutron bombs to the government of Iran with, you know, missiles with neutron bombs on them. Remember, neutron bombs kill people but leave buildings intact.
Well, that's not only treasonous, it sounds crazy.
It is. And the Iranians said, we don't want them. We put them at the Iraqi border, and they asked President Obama to please take them off their hands, and Obama just refused to listen.
Wow.
Okay? And this is, again, people at the higher level know this is true, you know. But in other words, they were going to offer the people of Israel as a kind of ritual sacrifice. So the Israelis were victims. A lot of them were fooled with, Jewish superiority talk, which was really the same as the Aryan Nazi superiority talk, only you substitute Jew for Aryan.
Hmm.
And they were chumps, okay? So most of the Israelis don't know what was going on and would be appalled to hear it, okay? So this is not a Jewish thing. I mean, I need to make that clear. It's about a cabal above all that.
And it has no religious affiliation.
Well, they are associated with the Abrahamistic religions, okay? Let's put it that way. They believe...
Going back to Babylon, Mesopotamia, all the way back there.
Well, at least going back to the time of the Caesars. Let's remember the word, the religion, okay? The etymology of religion is religare in Latin, which means to rebind. And what do you rebind it into? A fascio. And what's a fascio? Well, it's a bundle of sticks, but it's a fascism. It's at its worst, okay, monotheism, as practiced in the Middle Ages, for example, involved singular control over everybody's thoughts. Remember, in the Middle Ages, if you didn't believe in the official Catholic doctrine, you and your entire family would be killed.
Right.
Or tortured until you confessed.
That was the Inquisition.
Well, yeah, and it's much more sophisticated now. They control... Five companies control all the major English media, including the TV, the newspapers, the radios, the Hollywood studios. It's much more sophisticated now. Yeah, but they're trying to get everybody to think the same way. They're losing it. I mean, 9-1-1, the story there is just so full of holes and contradictions that they were losing a significant part of their brainwashed audience, including myself. Because I was a high-level brainwashee, you know.
Right.
but in any case, what happened was that there's a group within the Pentagon and the agencies and stuff that realized this plan was insane, and they knew that the plan to kill 90% of humanity was wrong. And what they did was they blew up the underground bases that the elites were going to use to hide in when they carried out their nuclear holocaust.
Okay, I want to get back to that because that's a really central point, but there's one question I want to ask you before we get to that because that's
sure.
Sort of like the conclusion of the discussion. But,
mm-hmm.
Okay, why do these guys need money? If they have so much infrastructure, so much assets, massive political power, why can't they just nakedly exercise power, move men around, move munitions around? Why do they need money? Why are they going around like a crackhead looking for a fix and going to all these different countries to try to scam money off of them? Why can't they just print dollars and make more money?
Because people aren't accepting their dollars worldwide. You got to remember, there's 800 U.S. military bases around the world. If they can't make the payroll for these guys, they're going to be marching out of their bases with food bowls in their hands begging for food.
Right.
So, they cannot go and, I mean, they're being cut off from their oil, from their other resources. And, that was their Achilles heel, was the control of money.
Okay, go ahead.
It's self-financing. They have their own industries and their own income. The U.S. Army is dependent on Wall Street financing. And that's why... they were dependent on ultimately the Chinese and the Asians who were financing Wall Street. And that's why, I mean, what I've told the Pentagon guys is, hey, you know, you guys can have a Starship Enterprise future, you know, exploring the universe and all that kind of stuff. Just work with us. We're not going to cut you off. You're not going to end up like the Soviet Union, where you had a general who's now, you know, suddenly forced to drive a taxi in London. And you can be the good guys again. And a lot of them said, you know, hey, I think that's a good idea. Yes, you know, we want to be heroes again. We don't want to be the bad guys.
You're saying that they have suppressed technology that could bring us into the Starship Enterprise reality.
I don't know about that, but what you can confirm in the public record is that, according to the American Academy of Sciences, more than 6,000 patents have been suppressed for so-called security or public safety reasons. Some of these probably need to be suppressed, okay? We don't want everyone to have a backyard nuke, for example.
Sure.
But a lot of them, I'm hearing, were just kept because these people were acting like dogs in the manger. They wanted to have only the elite to have it. So my understanding is that, for example, a lot of the so-called UFOs are just sophisticated, Earth-based secret aircraft that aren't available to the public at large.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And so, you know, the point is, let's develop these patents in a safe way, and you can have a boom time, you know, such as we haven't had in a very long time.
Right, instead of creating these financial products that are just voodoo, why not actually build infrastructure? And the existing military-industrial complex, I would argue, is probably the only entity on Earth that has the tools, the factories, the infrastructure, the staff to be able to accomplish this.
Exactly. And that's why, the generals are now on our side. And the people who are not on our side are mostly bribed politicians in Washington, D.C., and the Wall Street crowd. So they're being increasingly isolated.
Now, what possible reason could they have, these adversaries? Why in the world do they think they want to reduce population? The average person, their mind shuts down because they can't conceptualize that anyone would be that evil. So what's their rationale, as far as you understood it?
The story they tell me is that, look, we're destroying the environment. There's too many people for the planet to support. And the other thing is, these people are elitists. They believe in eugenics. And they say, plus, you know, too many stupid people are breeding too much. Useless eaters. All they do is they destroy the environment, and they don't produce anything. They just sit around and watch TV, and we don't need these people. We want to eliminate the weak and the useless and just keep an elite. We want to improve the genetic quality of the human race by purging the garbage from the system. And we get to save the environment and create whole new natural ecosystems. I mean, I think, was it the Georgia Guidestones has their philosophy written out? You know, 500 million people in permanent harmony with the environment. this is what their goal is. So they put it in echo terms. Okay, people forget the Nazis were great green people when it came to preserving nature and natural parks and all that kind of stuff. They were really gung-ho. And you remember, in Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote himself that he wanted to enslave the non-white peoples and then kill them. It's right there. And it's the same group. They're the same Nazis, the same philosophy. In other words, they wanted... And the other thing is, they're sort of the super elite. We're saying, hey, look, we're special. We're really smart. We're the elite. And we should rule the planet like God kings. And we'll need about 500 million slaves or so to keep, to keep us pampered, but the rest we don't need. And it's also about control. They don't have the brainwashed control over large parts of the planet, and they realized that they weren't going to be able to control these people, and so they thought, let's kill them rather than lose control of the planet.
Now, a lot of people who read about this stuff online, the vast majority, in fact, including most of the guests that Jeff Rentz would have on or Alex Jones would have on, there is an incredible sense of futility. everyone seems to go with the knee-jerk reaction that, like, all the governments in the world, all the countries in the world, everybody's in on it.
Well, that's where they're being used and turned into controlled opposition. They try to numb people to the message. It's happening, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's inevitable, but that's simply not the case.
Could you explain why that's not the case?
Because they only control now the G5 countries, and they're
which countries are those?
I'm sorry, Italy, France, England, Germany, and the United States.
Okay? That's it? You're saying all the other countries in the world they don't control anymore?
Well, if you look at the countries that accepted the new, I think maybe they've got a few subject countries like Honduras and Colombia and stuff like that, but basically, if you look at the African Union, they put out their own currency backed by Gaddafi's gold, and they don't support these groups. Or most of the countries in Asia, Russia, China.
What about European countries like Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania?
They were at this meeting. There was a meeting in Monaco in the end of August. 57 countries were invited by the Swiss to discuss, you know, cutting these people off financially and creating an international financial boycott against the controllers of the G5.
Now that's an incredible statement you're making. You're saying 57 different countries, including some of these Eastern European countries.
There were representatives from the Netherlands and Canada there too, okay?
Wow.
And since
what about South America?
Yeah, of course. And since then, more than 80 countries have signed on. So we're reaching a point where it's going to become public, okay? It's going to be on the airwaves. It's going to be on the news. It's not. They can't hide it much longer. Okay.
Why the hell haven't they made this public already? If people are dying, and these guys are trying to fake an alien invasion, that's one thing we keep hearing, that they want to do an alien 9/11. Why haven't they gone public already?
You don't think they've tried? Look, I had a book proposal at the Berlin Book Fair, okay? 11 publishing companies wanted that book out there, including 5 major ones. And they all came back and said they were told by their bosses they couldn't do it.
Wow.
You know, they've had people going, telling everybody I ever was associated with professionally that I had become an insane drug user, okay? They control the media. You got to remember that. There's 5 companies, 5 corporations, you know, controlled by people like Rupert Murdoch and Redstone and stuff, who have a grip over all the TV studios, all the newspapers, the radio stations, Hollywood studios, you name it.
So if their economies are going to go down, they can then say that it's a global economic collapse.
And it's not a global economic collapse. Again, if you look at the public statistics, you'll see that if you exclude the G5 countries, the average growth in the world economy last year was 7%.
Holy crap.
People are booming. It's not a world crisis. It's a crisis among the countries controlled by this cabal.
And it's only these G5 nations. Wow.
Yes, I mean, look at the statistics. They're all there. You know, it's all in the public record. You just have to look at government websites and stuff to check this out. There's nothing I'm saying, including the plan to kill 90% of the world's population, that's not in the public record. It's in their own writings. We have countless confessions. Werner von Braun, the guy behind the Apollo project, said on his deathbed that they were going to use a fake alien invasion as an excuse for genocide. It's crazy stuff, but it's provable. I mean, these people don't think like normal humans. I guess it was Herbert Hoover said, J. Edgar Hoover said, when a conspiracy is so big that people's mind boggles and they go into denial. But in any case, these people are coming down. Okay,
Right. You said something very provocative. You said that there is this meeting that happened with, I believe you said, 57 different countries, was it?
Yes.
And this happened in Monaco?
Yes. And it was taken on board a ship, which was went into international waters. And according to two witnesses, Senator Jay Rockefeller showed up and tried to break into the meeting, and he was physically ejected. And that two black helicopters appeared above the ship during the meeting, and they were chased away by Harrier jets, okay?
Now, these black helicopters would be like Apaches with weapons on them?
I don't know the details. No, I just heard that there were two helicopters and that there was a danger they were going to use some kind of electromagnetic weapon against the ship. And
oh, like scalar technology kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And they were chased away by two Harrier jets.
Wow.
U.S. military jets.
Now, if they had succeeded with those helicopters, what do you think might have happened there? Would everybody have just died?
Well, they would have killed all the representatives, and then they would have said, hey, you know, we're in charge, and if you try to go against us, we'll kill you, which is what they've been doing ever since World War II.
But if so many persons of interest died at once, wouldn't that become a massive international incident that would require investigation anyway?
Well, I mean, look, they have done this before. The Titanic was sunk deliberately to get rid of 600 senior financiers who were opposed to taking over the Federal Reserve Board.
Wow.
You know, they would come up with some story about tragedy at Monaco, and the Kool-Aid drinkers out there would go and believe it. I'm sorry, but that's how it is.
So somehow you guys had, were you at this meeting yourself, Ben?
No, a close colleague of mine was there, and then I've confirmed it from two other people who were there who aren't related to that colleague of mine.
Now, what about people from Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, Council on Foreign Relations?
They were deliberately excluded.
Any one of them, no matter who?
No matter who. They weren't. If they were a member, they weren't allowed.
And that's also why Jay Rockefeller wasn't allowed in.
That's right. And the other thing is, remember the Bilderberger meeting that took place in June in Switzerland, St. Moritz, Switzerland, of this year?
Right.
It was supposed to last until Tuesday, and they all had to flee on Sunday night because they were about to be arrested by the Swiss.
Whoa, I never heard that before.
Well, it's there. It's again, I mean, what happened was a Swiss lawmaker tried to get into the site, and he was beaten up. And he went to the Swiss government and said, hey, I'm a Swiss member of parliament in my own country, and they beat me up and threw me out. And that's illegal. And they said, yes, we'll go arrest them. And they all had to pack their suitcases and flee on Sunday night before being arrested on Monday.
So this would have been like a paramilitary SWAT team that would have swept in or something.
Well, yeah, the police authority. So there you
right.
go. The Bilderbergers chased out with their tails between their legs. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
There for everybody to see.
Okay, so then so you're saying that this meeting in Monaco, it took place on a ship. You have representatives from 57 countries. You said 80 countries now have signed on to this treaty. Now, could
yes.
we get into some detail about why this is so significant? What did they talk about? How are they going to pull
okay.
off doing something like this where these entities control all five, these five corporations control the world media? Let's go
well,
into that a little bit.
They don't control the world's money, you see. Once they lose the control of the goons, the people with the guns, then that's it. At a certain point, I believe the Pentagon will probably send people into the TV headquarters in the U.S. And, you know, you're going to see new faces and a totally different story coming out on your TV set soon.
That's also a very heavy statement. What is the context of the Pentagon in light of this meeting of 57 countries? Wouldn't everybody in the Pentagon be part of the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission thing?
No, the Pentagon was represented there. The Bilderberg Trilateral Commission was not.
What percentage of the Pentagon is on the side of this alliance, would you say?
Well, I've heard that the only generals who are not on board are like Petraeus and I forget, but most of the joint chiefs are now with this group.
What about lower levels of the hierarchy?
Well, the lower levels are, you know, completely pissed off, and they support Ron Paul, and they know that there's something totally wrong. Look, I mean, opinion polls in the U.S. show that 87% of Americans don't trust Washington. That should tell you the mental state in America now, and they're saying we don't want these scumbags in charge anymore. They're angry, but they're not sure who they should be angry at. That's, I think, how the majority of Americans think. They know there's something wrong. They know it has something to do with Wall Street and Washington. They don't know the details, but they wish somebody would come in and do something about it. And that is what is going to happen. These people are going to go to jail. And I can tell you who the leaders are, okay? It's people like Henry Kissinger, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Donald Rumsfeld, okay? Paul Wolfowitz, Tony Blair, we know who they are.
So these are neocons and their allies.
Neocons is the label that you use for them, but they go, you know, that's the group that had this crazy plan that somehow they could take over the world's oil and still control the world for the 21st century. But yeah, we know who they are. They're just a bunch of, when you take away that curtain, it's like the Wizard of Oz. You pull away the curtain and you see a little old man sitting at the control desk.
I think most people could admit that Fox News and News Corporation would be a shill for these guys. But to say, you're basically saying that like all the media in America for the most part is controlled by these folks? I mean, why would the media
How many major networks and Hollywood studios have come out with 911 truth, okay?
Good point.
Just ask yourself that, and then you can understand. What I'm telling you is that we've found this thing called the Global Collateral Accounts. It's a code book that shows who's been using the world's money since the end of World War II and for what reason. It has a list of names, you know, for example, who financed the Vietnam War and why, all that kind of stuff. We have these records now, and we're having people, they're abandoning that cabal like rats jumping off a sinking ship. We have a world who's who coming to us with information. And when this happens, this is going to be, I think, ultimately the biggest thing certainly since World War II, possibly the biggest thing in 2,000 years. Okay, we're going to see something, an ancient cabal that has controlled humanity through murder, propaganda, and bribery for possibly thousands of years is going to come to an end. It's going to be something that has not happened in the history of our planet before. It's going to be incredible. Wow. Basically, we're talking about the end of Babylonian-style tyranny. That's how far it goes back. But certainly the group, the P2 Freemasonic Lodge in the Vatican claimed that they've controlled things in secret since the time of Julius Caesar. Wow. I went to Italy, I met them, and they tried to poison me. They didn't think I would come alive out of Italy with the information they gave me, but I did.
Okay, a couple quick questions just to tie this off.
Yeah.
Who did the underground bases, in your estimation, who nuked them and why? And does it have any relationship with this meeting in Monaco?
Yes. Well, it's Pentagon white hats saying to the elite, you're not going to destroy the surface of the planet and escape yourselves. If you're going to destroy the surface of the planet, you're going to destroy your families too. You're not going to escape. You know, in other words, they made it very clear to them they're not going to be able to initiate some kind of nuclear holocaust and be able to get away with it.
Right, these guys must have always thought somehow that these bases were safe, and now none of them are safe.
Yeah, they had their greenhouses and their food supplies and their big screen TVs and their supply of women, and they thought, you know, it's like Dr. Strangelove, you know, we'll hide in our tunnels with our young ladies while everybody else up in the surface dies, and we'll come out, we'll take over the planet, and we'll breed like rabbits, you know? Well,
so,
it ain't going to happen, okay?
Now, you had said on your blog that some of your people that were there in Monaco, they have detailed maps of these underground bases. They know exactly where they are, and that footage of the bases was shown?
That's right, to the world government to show, yes, it's true. These crazy people were planning to kill 90% of humanity. So the world's governments know this.
Okay, so how can we expect that this event will take place? What might happen? When might it happen? What are we looking at? What are we going into here? What will be the precursor to this?
There's several possibilities. The one I'm hearing the most, the one that the Pentagon backs, is a lawsuit that would lead to the arrest of the top Cabalists. And but right now they're also trying to cut a deal, saying, "Hey, look, you know, if you guys will stop the nuclear terror, then maybe we'll forgive you." Because it's, you know, it's one of those situations where so many people are involved, it's better to have a truce and reconciliation committee than a bunch of arrests and beheadings, you know?
So you're saying that these underground nuclear strikes against the bases...
There'll be thousands of arrests of very prominent people, starting with people like Henry Kissinger, or else they will cut a deal and they will appear before a truce and reconciliation committee in exchange for... you know, one-time forgiveness.
Do we have a time window on when this might all come to a head?
Well, it's a war. I mean, who knows what crazy stuff they'll do next, but it could be as early as this fall. It could be as late as next summer, okay? Oh. I don't have a precise date.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm hearing we're pretty close now.
Do you think the failure of the Russian airplane that had their entire hockey team was in any way related to this war?
It's possible, but, you know, generally they would rather get a bunch of generals than hockey players, okay? You know, there was a crash in off the coast of Brazil that was involved with this, I know, but I don't know about the hockey players.
Okay, so just in summary then, could you paint a picture of, let's assume that this happens, let's assume that these 80 countries get what they want. What kind of, just paint the picture of what happens and where do we go as a planet and how is it going to take us to get there?
Well, look, I mean, it's just common sense. We have the technical ability to end poverty and stop environmental destruction within a year. We just don't have the institutions or the will to do it. So instead of a fake war on terror, you know, aimed at financing defense companies forever for in a useless manner, you would have some sort of huge campaign globally, you know, the equivalent of World War III, but a peaceful one, to fix all the problems on the planet, and then start telling people the truth about their history, which they've been lied to about so much, and start building new institutions that are fair, transparent, meritocratic. Anybody can climb the pyramid and get to the top if they're really, you know, good enough and determined enough. Instead of an inbred family controlling it, an inbred family group controlling it. And I think it's sort of like the people of Japan went through it at the end of World War II. Suddenly they're told their emperor was not a god and that the war wasn't actually ending in victory. That soon, you know, everything was about to change. And it's going to be like that. Ask anyone who went through the end of the Soviet Union what it was like, and you get a pretty good idea of what's coming. But unlike the end of the Soviet Union, it's not going to be followed by hardship or poverty. It's going to be followed by an era of unprecedented prosperity and happiness. Okay? I got to go.
Great. Thank you so much.